Grace, mercy, and peace be with you, from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father. Amen. Today we look to the 10th chapter of St. Mark's Gospel, beginning with the 46th verse, as follows. Now they came to Jericho. As they went out of Jericho with his disciples, as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. So far, the Holy Word. In the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, who came to bring freedom to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. Dear fellow redeemed. Jonathan Swift, renowned British author of the early 18th century, once said, vision is the art of seeing the things that are invisible. Any business executive can read a stock market report, but the one who can tell which stock is going to double in the coming year, that one has vision. Any architect can look at a parking lot in downtown New York City, but the one who can see a towering skyscraper rising in its place, that one has vision. Mr. Swift wasn't the only one with a definition of vision. There's such a definition in the Bible as well, only in Scripture it's called faith. The writer of the Hebrews says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Christian faith, too, sees things that are invisible. In fact, Christian faith is the only thing that allows you to see those things that are most important in any person's life, infinitely more important than money or real estate could ever be. You think I'm exaggerating? If so, then you need to pay a little more attention to our text for today. In it, the Lord gives us a lesson on vision. And interestingly, that lesson comes from a blind man. Our theme this morning, Bartimaeus, a blind man with perfect vision. Perfect because he saw himself perfectly, he saw his Savior perfectly, and finally, he saw his prayer answered perfectly. The events of our text took place during the final week before Jesus suffered and died on the cross. He was on his way toward Jerusalem that one last time, and on the route passed through the city of Jericho. As he was leaving Jericho with a large crowd of his followers and disciples, there was a sudden commotion. Somebody was yelling his name, and that's how Jesus met Bartimaeus, a blind man with perfect vision. It's hard to imagine a worse physical handicap than blindness. Scientists say that of all the information that enters our brain, 90% of it comes from the sense of vision, and only 10% from the other senses of hearing, taste, touch, and smell. To a blind man, the world of color and beauty is closed. For someone afflicted with blindness, the only color is black, and the only shade, darkness. In our society, of course, we have programs to help offset the tragedy of blindness. Social Security, disability insurance, job training, so forth. But in ancient Israel, there was only one way to survive if you were a blind person, and that was to beg. Bartimaeus was a blind man, and because of that, he also made his living by begging those few paltry gifts that he could glean from passersby. Now they came to Jericho. As Jesus went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. One thing about being blind is it's pretty hard to kid yourself about it. Pretty hard to deceive yourself into thinking that you can see when you can't. You can't pretend to be a rich man when you're gnawing at a crust of bread. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus was passing by, he didn't pretend to be something he wasn't. He didn't show any pride before Jesus, obviously, had nothing to be proud of. He didn't offer Jesus anything. He knew he had nothing to offer. He merely begged for Jesus' mercy. Bartimaeus knew exactly who and what he was, and in that respect, at least, he was a blind man who had perfect vision because he saw himself perfectly. If only everyone did. Unfortunately, in the world in which we live today, there are very few people who share that vision of themselves. Most people don't see their need for a Savior and are somewhat insulted if you suggest they have such a need. Most think they can see their way through life quite well without Jesus, failing to realize that without faith in Christ, they are blind. The Bible says that whether they know it or not, unbelievers walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. What about faithful churchgoers like you? Are you exempt? Not if you come here to God's house thinking that you're giving something to God rather than receiving something from Him. Not if you pretend that it's your righteousness, your good works, your upright lifestyle that makes you acceptable in God's eyes. Then you're much more blind than Bartimaeus ever was. At least he saw what he himself was clearly. Jesus is passing by our town again today. Will we take advantage of this tremendous opportunity? Only if we have the vision to see ourselves for what we are, and that is, spiritually anyway, blind beggars. By nature, we're spiritually blind, and only God's Word can open our eyes. Left to ourselves, we're beggars, bankrupt as far as righteousness goes, and up to our eyes in debt with the many sins that we've each committed. We come to God's house today holding out the empty hands of a beggar. Like Bartimaeus, let us only plead for God's mercy. Bartimaeus was not turned away, and you won't be turned away either. Bartimaeus was a blind man with perfect vision, not just because he saw himself perfectly, but he also saw his Savior perfectly. He knew just what who Jesus was, and exactly what Jesus was able to do for him. How do we know that? We know it from the term he used when he addressed Jesus. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David was a term used throughout the Old Testament and was a term that only meant one thing and only referred to one person, and that was the promised Messiah, the coming Savior, the Son of God. Bartimaeus knew that that's who Jesus was. Here in his own hometown, the very Son of God was passing by, the one who had power to heal every disease and the power to forgive sins. He saw the chance of a lifetime, so Bartimaeus grabbed it. He wasn't shy about it either. You notice he yelled at the top of his lungs. He made such a scene, in fact, that the people around him were downright embarrassed. They tried to shush him, shut him up, and he just yelled the louder. This is interesting, too. Nobody likes embarrassing scenes, do they? I took a course in CPR once, and I was interested to hear the instructor say that whenever someone is choking or in distress and leaves the room, you should always follow them, because it very often happens that people are in distress and will excuse themselves to avoid embarrassment and then go to the bathroom and collapse, often with nobody there to help them. It's a strange fact. Most people would literally rather die than cause an embarrassing scene. Not Bartimaeus. He needed Jesus' help. And he didn't care who knew about it. What about you? Are you too embarrassed to ask for Jesus' mercy? You'll die if you don't. Will you let pressure from your friends and neighbors keep you from making Christ the very center of your life? Because if it hasn't already, you're going to feel that pressure one day. Oh, a little religion's a good thing, people will say, but you don't have to be a fanatic about it. It's nice to go to church once in a while, but don't let religion take over your life. Or at least if they don't use so many words, that's the attitude that many people take. And after a while, you can find yourself thinking the same way yourself. But it's not true. Open the eyes of your faith and see what the blind man saw. In order to stand accepted before Almighty God, you need perfect righteousness. You need that righteousness more than the food you eat, more even than the air that you breathe. Jesus is the one who has the perfect righteousness you need. Christ is the one who died on Calvary's cross to provide the atonement that earns for you everlasting life. He's the one who rose again from the dead the third day so that you too may one day rise to everlasting life. Jesus is the only one you can turn to for the forgiveness of sins, for peace of conscience and eternal life. Everything else in your life, your jobs, your hobbies, your relationships, your leisure activities, anything you can name, all the rest of that is really insignificant compared to these spiritual blessings that come only through Christ. Toward the end of his ministry, Jesus saw many people turn away from him and become disillusioned and embarrassed by him. Jesus just wasn't turning out to be the kind of king that they wanted him to be. So they drifted away. They had other things to do and other agendas to fulfill. Jesus asked his disciples, "Will you also go away?" Peter replied, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." They say if you need something from somebody, the first task you need to take care of is getting their attention. Well, nothing gets Jesus' attention better than a plea for mercy from a humble sinner. Of such a person, the Lord says, "He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him." It works every time. It certainly worked for Bartimaeus, didn't it? Our text says, "He cried out all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called." Jesus was busy. He was doing something important. He had an agenda to fulfill. But nothing on Jesus' agenda is more important than hearing the cry of a humble sinner for mercy. Then they called to the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good cheer. Rise, he is calling you." And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. He might have been a blind man, but Bartimaeus had perfect vision. With the eyes of his faith, he saw himself perfectly. He saw his Savior perfectly. And now he was about to see something else. He was about to see his prayer answered perfectly. So Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said, "Rabboni, that I may receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." And immediately, he received his sight. You want to take a Bible challenge? When you go home from church today, open up your family Bible and see if you can find a single instance where a humble sinner asked something from the Lord and failed to get what he asked for. I tried it. I couldn't do it. Tax collector humbly asked forgiveness for his sins and got it. The Canaanite woman asked for healing for her daughter and got it. Jairus and his daughter, the 10 lepers on the road, the paralytic let down through the roof, the woman with an issue of blood, the demon-possessed man, the centurion, the thief on the cross. It's monotonous. They all asked for Jesus' mercy, and every single one of them received what he asked for. Perhaps you're beginning to get the message. God is in the mercy business. Maybe you doubt whether the Lord will have mercy on you, but he will. He always does, yes, even on a sinner such as you. Jesus loves to answer prayer, so ask him. Put him to the test. As one of our favorite hymns puts it, "You are coming to a king. large petitions with you bring. Moreover, Jesus cares what happens to you because he has a stake in you. He gave up his own blood on the cross in order to purchase you back from sin, death, and the devil. He bought you and you belong to him. You are extremely valuable to him. He loves you dearly, and nothing pleases him more than to answer your prayers. The Bible says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Is there an especially grievous sin on your conscience? Come boldly to the throne of your Savior's grace in repentance and ask him for forgiveness. He will not turn you away. Jesus said, "He who comes to me, I will by no means cast out." Do you need wisdom to see your way through a problem you're dealing with right now? Do you need relief from a sorrow in your life? Perhaps the vision to help you in a future job move. Whatever you need, I can only say to you what the crowd said to the blind man Bartimaeus: "Be of good cheer. Rise. He is calling for you." Jesus is calling for you. He's waiting to answer your prayer. He's ready and waiting to provide you with exactly the perfect solution to whatever problem it is that you're facing in your life right now. Been interested in the country of India ever since I was privileged to visit there a year ago. The other day I was reading about a man who was a medical missionary in a remote part of northern India. And at the time he was visiting there, they were dealing with something of an epidemic, a disease that caused progressive blindness. Well, he developed a surgical procedure that would arrest the progression of the disease, and naturally, people flocked to him to get the procedure. You can imagine their immense gratitude at being spared a life of almost certain blindness. Yet, in that particular Indian dialect, they have no word for thank you. Their expression of gratitude is, "I will tell your name." So that's what those patients said to him. "I will tell your name." And that's what they did. Wherever they traveled, they would tell his name. They told the good news about the physician who was able to cure even blindness. My Christian friends, we have the greatest physician there ever was. We must tell his name. He is the one, Scripture says, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Our Lord has cured our spiritual blindness and released us from the slavery of sin. We must tell his name. God has given us the vision of Bartimaeus, the ability to see ourselves clearly in our sinful condition, and also to see our Lord Jesus clearly, to see the riches that belong to us in Christ, to see even the eternal mansions that he is even now preparing for us to occupy. Let us keep the eyes of our faith fixed on Jesus, and may God grant to our eyes ever more perfect vision until we see the dawn of the eternal day. Amen.